Hey everyone, I'm Harper. I'm pretty sure you'll find this story hard to believe. If I heard it, I probably wouldn't believe it either. But I know that it's true because it happened to me. My mom had a difficult time when she was pregnant with me. She had to stay in bed for 7 months because of the risk of miscarriage. As a result, she refused to have another baby, even though my dad wanted to. After I was born, they both used all their time and energy taking care of me. They organized their life around me. I'm not complaining about it because I had a great childhood and adolescence, but I wish they had some other interests too. 2.5 years ago, I moved to another city to go to university. After I left, there was a huge hole in my parents' lives. For 18 years, I was the center of their universe. They had no idea what to do with themselves after I left home. First, they got a cat, then a dog, then a parrot. My mom started taking art lessons. My dad started playing golf again. But none of it was enough. One day, I was on the phone with my mom. As usual, she was crying about how much she missed me, and I was trying to console her. All of a sudden, I had a great idea. Mom, what about adopting a child? If you're really missing taking care of a kid, maybe you could adopt one. This time, it could be a boy. You already raised a girl. It would be a new experience. The first thing she said was, "Sweetie, I'm too old to be taking care of a baby now." I wish I had stopped there, but I didn't. Well, it could be an older child, maybe like 9 or 10 years old. You'd provide a home for a child that needs one, and you'll also have someone to take care of, which you clearly miss. She said, "Maybe it's not such a bad idea. Let me talk to your dad," and hung up. She called back half an hour later. She sounded very happy. "Your dad is very excited. We decided we're going to adopt a 10-year-old child, just like you said. We'll start looking into it tomorrow." I was so happy for her when I heard the news. I didn't know then that something terrible was going to happen to my family because of me. Overnight, their entire focus changed. They contacted the necessary governmental agencies right away and dealt with the bureaucratic stuff. They went around to foster homes. They talked with officials who deal with adoptions. Now, whenever my mom called me, this is all we talked about. Finally, they reached the most exciting part. They were going to start meeting children that fit their criteria and then choose one to adopt. One day, I was sitting on a bench on campus, relaxing in the sun. I got a text from my mom. I opened it and saw a photo of a cute but shy boy smiling at me. Below the photo, it said, "Hi, I'm your new brother, Beckett. Nice to meet you." I called her immediately. She was so happy. She said that when they first saw Beckett, they knew he was the one they were looking for. He was so mature for his age. They didn't want to miss their chance with such a great kid, so they started the adoption process right away. My dad was so cheerful now that he had a son. "He's a perfect fit for our family. We'll give him all our love," he said, and I teared up. I got so emotional because I'm very close to my parents, and I had missed seeing them so happy. I met Beckett via FaceTime. He really did seem like a good kid. I was going to visit them after I finished my exams. I wanted to bring a gift for Beckett. I asked him a bunch of questions to find out what he liked, but he wasn't very talkative. I felt like I was making him uncomfortable. Maybe he didn't like talking about himself. So I ended up just buying a game that I thought any kid would like. I met him a month later. But I was disappointed after spending some time with him. He was so arrogant, which is something I really hate. What my parents saw as mature behavior felt so irritating to me. I thought maybe he'll grow out of it to make myself feel better. Next morning, something weird happened. I was staying in the guest room because my parents had given my room to Beckett. This room had its own bathroom. I took a shower in the morning, then I was going to brush my teeth, but realized I left my toothbrush in my bag. I opened the bathroom door, and I saw Beckett standing right there. Thankfully, I was wearing a bathrobe. He got so nervous and stammered, trying to say something. What was he doing in my room in front of my bathroom door? I was about to ask him, but he ran away before I could say anything. I didn't say anything to my parents because I didn't want to upset them, but I was suspicious. After breakfast, my mom and I were sitting in the garden. "Does Beckett have a family?" I asked. She lowered her voice. "He doesn't have anyone. In fact, he was homeless. 2 months ago, the police found him and placed him in a foster home. The officials didn't know anything about his past. We didn't ask so as not to upset him. I was surprised. Mom, this doesn't make sense. What do you mean they don't know anything? What if he is a runaway and he's lying about not having parents? Meanwhile, my dad was planting new flowers in the garden and Beckett was helping him. My mom said, Harper, look at how innocent he is. You think he'd lie? Who knows what he's been through? All we need to do now is try to heal his emotional wounds. I kept watching Beckett over the next few days. Something about him didn't feel right, but I couldn't put my finger on it. On the other hand, my parents were so happy, so I thought it was best to keep my thoughts to myself. Anyway, what could I say? I just had a bad feeling about him, that's all. I was still bothered by the whole thing after I went back to school. Finally, I decided to call the adoption agency. There was no point in lying. I explained the situation to the woman on the phone and asked her to keep this conversation between us. She understood where I was coming from. It's true, we don't know anything about Beckett's past. But there are so many kids here like him whose past we know nothing about. The kids who grow up in the streets are especially unlucky in that sense. Some of them can't express themselves, and some think that what they've experienced is normal and is not worth talking about. I felt ashamed when I hung up the phone. I looked at Beckett's photo. He did look innocent. My mom was right. All we could do now was to try to help him heal his wounds. I didn't want to keep feeling guilty, so I thought I would talk to him. I called my mom and asked for him. You loved him too, right? She said, sounding so happy. I had a hard time keeping the conversation going since I wasn't used to talking to a 10-year-old. I said stuff like, how are you? How is school? He didn't say much, so after 30 seconds, I ran out of things to ask. I had a friend in high school whose name was Beckett. He had once told me what his name meant. I remembered that. Do you know what your name means? It has a really beautiful meaning, I said. Right away, he said, of course I know it. It means warrior. I laughed. Don't be so sure. It doesn't mean warrior. It means stream, I said. No, he insisted. Earl means warrior. I was shocked. Earl? Who is Earl? I asked. He didn't reply. He stuttered like that day when I found him in front of my bathroom. I was right. He was hiding something from us. Even his name was fake. I didn't say anything about it then. I just said, I have to go to class. We'll talk later, and hung up the phone. I was shaking from anger. I thought, his real name is Earl. Why is he hiding it? What could such a young child possibly be hiding? I decided to do some research and find out who he really was. I thought I'd start with Google, but what could I search for? All I knew was that his real name was Earl. I typed in Earl and clicked search. Thousands of results came up. I was randomly clicking on things as I thought about what I could do. I ended up in Google Images. Suddenly, I had a great idea. I could upload his photo to Google Images and search for similar ones. I transferred his photo to my computer. Then I uploaded it to Google Images and clicked search. The results were not what I was hoping for. There were a bunch of random images. I started going through them anyway. I was almost at the end of the page. Then I saw something that caught my eye. Man who looks like a child steals diamond ring by swallowing it. I clicked on it right away. It was a news site. A woman went to a jewelry store with her child. As she was trying to distract the jeweler, the little kid took a ring and swallowed it. The jeweler saw it and pressed a panic button, which notified the police. So the police came and arrested the woman and the kid as they were leaving. The part that interested me came after this. When the police interviewed the kid, they found out he was actually a 29-year-old man. Apparently, he had a condition caused by a growth hormone deficiency. He stopped growing at 10 years old. These people are technically dwarfs, but they have normal body proportions. The article included the man's mugshot. Yes, this was Beckett, or rather, Earl. The news was from 3 years ago, which meant that a 32-year-old man was at my parents' house. I felt like I couldn't breathe. I grabbed my phone in panic. I had to call my dad and warn him. Then I thought, well, what is he going to do? Is he going to drag him to the police? He's not a boy, but a 32-year-old criminal. He could do anything. So instead of calling my dad, I called the police. That was probably the longest day of my life. I told the police what happened. They went to our house and were able to arrest the man without incident. I visited my parents that evening. Thankfully, everyone was safe. My parents were trying to get over their shock. This Earl guy was already in jail. We don't know what he was planning to do. Either he was going to live there as long as he could by pretending to be a boy, or he was going to steal something and then run away. We'll probably find out the reason during his trial. We don't think that this was his first time pretending to be an orphan. The trial should also reveal whether he had other victims. Thanks for listening to my story. If you like true stories like this one, subscribe to this channel. Bye.
Hi, everyone. My name is Oliver. I'm in 10th grade. This is my best friend, Seb. He transferred to our school this year. He's an introvert like me. That's why we hit it off right away. We realized that we had a lot of things in common, and for the first time in my life, I had someone I could call my best friend. Seb says it was the same for him. He never had a close friend like me before. One of the reasons why we hit it off so quickly is that we're both really into horror movies. We were both so happy to find out we had that in common. We would talk about horror movies nonstop. One Sunday, I invited him over for a movie marathon. We were going to watch 3 horror movies back to back. There's a bus stop near our house. Call me when you get on the bus. I'll wait for you at the bus stop, I said to him. But Seb said, don't worry about it. I'll find your place. No matter how much I insisted, he didn't want me to wait for him at the bus stop. I couldn't understand why. I would figure it out later. That day, when Seb came over, we had such a great time. When we were done with the movies, my mom called us to have dinner. Seb loved everything he ate and complimented my mom on each dish. My mom was embarrassed since she wasn't used to receiving so much praise. I thought that Seb was just being overly polite that day. But it turned out there was a heartbreaking reason why he was acting that way, which I would learn about later. As we got closer, Seb started coming to our place more often. Our routine was the same. First, we would watch a movie, then we would eat. We got used to Seb loving everything he was eating and showering my mom with compliments. Around that time, I realized something. Seb never talked about his family. He never invited me to his place either. Normally, of course, he wouldn't have to talk about his family. But now he was my best friend and he came over to our place so often that he was almost like a member of my family. And I didn't know anything about his private life. My dad is a mechanic. Seb and I went to visit his workshop a couple of times. But what did Seb's dad do? I had no idea. One morning, the bus I was taking to school broke down. I decided to walk because I was only 3 stops away. I took a shortcut to get there faster. As I was walking down an alley, I saw a gigantic SUV with tinted windows parked by the road. I'm into cars since my dad is a mechanic. I knew this brand. They made custom-designed luxury SUVs. As I was standing there and staring at the car, the front door opened. A driver wearing a suit and tie stepped out and opened the rear door. Out came Seb, looking like he was still half asleep. Our eyes met. I took one look at the SUV and then at Seb. He was pretty shocked to see me too. You caught me. Let's walk so we're not late. We can talk on the way, he said. I was totally surprised by what Seb was telling me. His father was a famous jewelry designer. They have jewelry stores in many countries. But why was he hiding the fact that his family was rich? I really wanted to know, but I couldn't ask him because he clearly didn't want to talk about it. I just said, that SUV is super cool. If I were you, I'd have the driver drop me off right in front of school. Can someone be ashamed of being rich? That made no sense to me, but Seb seemed to be ashamed. I wish my family were rich too. Then I could have anything I wanted. For example, I wouldn't have to use my dad's old phone. I would throw my ancient computer straight into the trash and buy myself a brand new one. The next morning, Seb called me and said, I know I was being weird yesterday. I'm really sorry. I felt embarrassed that I hid this from you. I think now you know why I never invite you over to my house. Since my secret is out now, wanna come over and watch movies at my place this weekend? He said. Of course, I said yes. I was very curious about where he lived. On Saturday, Seb's driver came to pick me up. His house was just outside the city. Actually, I should probably say his mansion. It was gigantic. Seb was waiting for me outside. I was so excited to finally get to see the kind of mansion billionaires lived in. When we went inside, I was staring open-mouthed at everything around the house. Everything was exquisite. I felt as if I were in a movie. I couldn't believe someone this rich would be friends with me. Since he lived in such a mansion, our house must have seemed to him like a chicken coop. Seb said, "The movie is ready. We can watch it now if you want." I followed him. I couldn't believe my eyes when I saw the room where we would be watching the movie. It was a proper movie theater. Yes, you heard it right. There was a movie theater with a huge screen in Seb's house. At my place, we watched the movies on my computer screen. I felt ashamed when I thought about it. After the movie, we went to Seb's room. His room alone was bigger than our whole apartment. Seb asked, "What do you want to eat? Let's order something." We almost never ordered food to be delivered, so most of the time we have to eat whatever my mom makes. But Seb could eat whatever he felt like. I was so jealous of his life that I was ready to give 10 years of my own just to switch places with him. That night, Seb's driver dropped me off back home. As we were driving, something occurred to me. Seb never introduced me to his parents. Maybe they weren't home. But it was super weird that Seb never even mentioned them. We had been together all day. Not even once did he say the words mom or dad. When I went into the kitchen next morning, I saw that my dad wasn't at work. He smiled and said, "Good morning. I'm not working today. Come, let's have breakfast together." I didn't answer him. I was mad at him. Why couldn't he make more money? Why did he let his family live in such bad conditions? I felt this rage towards my father when I saw how the rich people lived. Before, I thought I didn't care about such things, but I was upset now. I felt really small compared to Seb. What surprised me was that nothing about him had changed. He was acting the same as before. One day, he asked, "Do you want to watch a zombie flick at your place this weekend? I'm really craving your mom's amazing spaghetti." I'd had enough. "Seb, you live in a mansion. You can have whatever you want." "Why would you want to hang out in my dingy apartment?" I said. Seb stared at me, surprised. "Are you serious? Is that what you really think?" he asked. I nodded. He said, "Then come over to my place this weekend. I see that there are a few things about me that you need to learn." I was really curious when I arrived at his place on Saturday. Seb took me upstairs. We went into a large bedroom. There was a woman lying in bed. There was an oxygen mask on her face. She wasn't moving at all and her eyes were closed. Seb kissed her on the cheek. Then he turned to me. "Let me introduce you to my mom. She has been in a coma for the past 8 years. These machines are keeping her alive. I've been waiting for her to wake up for 8 years. But I'm beginning to lose hope." I was very sad to hear all this. Seb went on, looking at his mom. "I would gladly give everything I have to be able to eat food my mom prepared for me. But that's not possible. Thanks to your mom, I remembered what it was like to eat food made with a mother's love, because I had completely forgotten." As Seb was speaking, a tear rolled down his cheek. "Do you know who did this to my mom? My father. Yes, my father. My parents were running the company together. A few times a year, they would go to Africa to buy diamonds from different mines. My dad found out that there was a mine in Angola that sold cheap diamonds. My mom didn't want to buy diamonds from there. To be sure the diamonds were of high quality, they had to go down into the mine and see them in their rough form. But since the mines selling cheap diamonds were being operated illegally, there was no safety inspections. Going down there was very dangerous. My dad wouldn't listen to my mom. When they went down into the mine, there was an accident and my mom was exposed to excessive levels of carbon monoxide. Unfortunately, she's been in a coma ever since. My dad rarely comes home because he feels guilty. When he does come here, he sits by her bed and cries nonstop for hours. The staff told me this since I haven't talked to him in years. The only contact I have with him is the texts he sends me on my birthday. I just delete them without answering. I didn't know what to say to Seb after he told me all this. I was really sad for him. Now I understood why he loved coming to our place. He had found a family after all these years. I had envied him for being able to order food from any restaurant he wants. But in fact, Seb would prefer a mother's cooking to anything from a restaurant. Yes, his father was a billionaire, but they weren't even in touch. He couldn't forgive him for what he had done to his mother. Seb opened up to me that day. That's how I understood there were things money couldn't buy. I realized how lucky I was to have the perfect family. Since that day, the bond between Seb and me has grown even stronger. I rarely go to his house, but he stays over at our place a few times a week. Seb used to be my best friend. Now I think of him as my brother.